If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is not only about the investigation about missing persons cases, but also a park ranger at the forefront. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Excerpt found from Ranger Dillon's personal journal, recovered from his home during the investigation. I really don't know why I'm writing this. I guess it's because my therapist told me that journaling is a good form of therapy, so I figured I would give it a shot. Not like the medicine or booze helped, so what do I have to lose? Besides, none will read my journal, so I could just vent to myself, really. Some people talk to themselves, so how different is writing my thoughts down? No difference. Anyways, let me get this all out. I'll start from the beginning, or as close to the beginning as I know. As a park ranger, my duties never strayed far from the usual. Greeting tour groups who visited, campsite inspections, speaking to the odd educational talks for schools. It was simple work, but I loved the outdoors, and I loved interacting with people. Being a park ranger was a job made in heaven. I met my fair share of people in the 12 years I had the pleasure of carrying out my duties. Many of them were forgettable characters, milling around the campsites and taking pictures. Families from the city taking in the breathtaking views of the woods and night skies. Looking back on the people I met, they stand out in my mind almost immediately. They didn't have that city slicker type of feel to them. They seemed rural and very set in their ways. But they always came to the park in fairly new cars. So it went without saying that they definitely resided in the city. They were an odd family, but very polite to the other staff and me. They struck me as good folk. I wondered about the new cars because they always had trinkets for sale when they came to stay. I didn't allow hawking, but offering a small chain or watch to passerbys didn't seem like much of a problem. More than a few times I calmed down newer rangers that wanted to find them. They sold homemade kombucha and fruit roll-ups from the back of their car to the other campers. So what was the harm in a couple pieces of jewelry? Not to mention, we didn't have food or drink available after the kiosk closed. So they were just helping their fellow man by providing reasonably priced snacks when they otherwise would have to drive an hour either way to get something from the convenience store. So, no harm, no foul. I really should have listened to my gut about them. The kids kind of always creeped me out, if I'm being totally honest. They had this look to them, almost like they were somewhat inbred. I don't know how to describe it, but they had a kind of hills have eyes feel to them. Sharing fuzzy brown hair, the parents themselves looked a little closer related than second cousins. I figured they originated from some outback town where cousins could marry. And who was I to judge? How wrong I was. I would have saved myself so much trouble if I had just listened to my instincts. They weren't super regular visitors, the Hamiltons, as I came to learn their surname was. But they would come pretty much every long weekend there was. So to me, they were pretty familiar. During one of their visits, I noticed they had a little bit more stuff in their possession than usual. I figured they must have been staying for a little longer. Maybe the parents took some time off work and let their kids play hooky. They set up their tents around the area they usually did and lit their fire. I greeted them each time I walked past on my usual rounds for patrol. Nothing out of the ordinary. It was my last round of patrol that the father finally said something more than the usual niceties. "Hey, officer. You must be more than peckish from all that walking. Rest your haunches a minute and try some of this jerky. We also got a new batch of booch that you're welcome to." I was pretty hungry since I was finishing my shift, and I do love me some beef jerky. So I figured no harm in a little chit-chat with the somewhat strange family in exchange for a snack I love, and a little bit of kombucha. I positioned myself on a log near the fire, and thanked the gentleman for his hospitality. He extended a Ziploc bag with jerky towards me, and I gratefully took a thick stick out.
"Go on now, don't be shy,"
Mrs. Hamilton said with a smile.
"Plenty more where that came from. Have some more."
I happily obliged and took a handful of the offered meat. Thanking them for it, I took a hearty bite of the piece I had originally taken. It had a slightly different texture and initial taste, but I didn't know much about making jerky, so perhaps their method wasn't of something I was used to. It did, however, taste quite phenomenal. I told Mr. Hamilton I thought it was delicious, and asked him what cut of the cow he had used for it. With a smile, Mr. Hamilton told me he could not and would not reveal his family secret. And as long as I enjoyed it, that is all that mattered.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I had a couple sips from the cup of kombucha, finished the last of the jerky in my grasp, and told them I had to go and clock out. I thanked them once again, and told them to have a good evening. Before I was but a few steps away from my seat, the booming voice of Mr. Hamilton called out to me.
"If you enjoyed it, why not take the rest? As we said, a lot more where that came from. You serve our park so well. It's nice to do something for you."
I took the Ziploc bag that was extended to me without hesitation. It was tasty, but who wouldn't mind a free bag of jerky? I threw the Ziploc bag into my lunchbox as I prepared to leave to the main office. The taste of the jerky still stirred my curiosity, so I decided I would leave some for my friend Dave, who was taking over after me. I wrapped a couple of pieces in some tissue paper and wrote his name on it, placing them in the snack drawer as we all use the kitchen. I would give him a call later to ask what he thought of it. It was time to go home, have a proper meal, and sleep. I was awoken by a call around 3 a.m., 3 hours before my usual wake-up time. I immediately knew something was wrong. No one calls you at 3 a.m. to give you good news. It was Philip, my supervisor.
"Hey Dylan, sorry to wake you, but we're going to need you to come in. I can't say much more over the phone."
My heart was racing. What on earth could prompt a call like that from Philip? All the more strange was the fact that he couldn't say much over the phone. I hurriedly put on my uniform, rubbing sleep from my eyes and questioning what was going on. Surprisingly, I was hungry. My stomach rumbled and I felt a little strange. Low blood sugar was what I figured it was. Or maybe my stomach didn't agree with the curing of the jerky I ate. I finished getting ready and made my way to the park. I was greeted near the main office by a horde of police cars and flashing blue lights. Philip paced up and down the entrance to the office, policemen streaming in and out past him. I walked towards him and we stopped by two police officers who introduced themselves to me. I can't for the life of me remember their names right now, but they ushered me away from Philip and towards an office situated in a passage near the bathrooms. Mr. Dillon, we have a few questions for you, if you'd be so kind as to follow us. They told me as we walked towards yet another cluster of policemen buzzing around near the toilet area. I followed them and was led into the office. It was a meeting room of sorts. We just called all the rooms offices. Easier than naming them individually. Anyways, I digress. I walked in and was sat down opposite of two mean-looking men, clad in dark suits. They, too, introduced themselves, but stating they were detectives rather than just police officers. We would like to ask you a few questions, Mr. Dillon. You're not under arrest or anything, but we would really appreciate if you cooperated with us on the matter. I told them I would, but I had no idea what was going on. One of the detectives pulled some papers out of the file and handed them to me, one by one. Have you read any of these news articles by any chance? I was asked. I looked down at the news clippings and confirmed I had read them. They were articles from the local newspaper, detailing disappearances and suspected missing person cases. I asked the detectives what I had to do with any of that, to which I got no answer. My blood ran cold when I was presented with the next picture and asked, "Do you recognize any of these people?" The photograph was of the Hamiltons. I stammered out that I did recognize them. I mentioned their family name and explained that they sometimes visited the park. I emphasized I recognized them but didn't know them. Witnesses say they saw you sitting down and socializing with these individuals merely a few hours ago. This leads me to believe you more than just recognize them, one of the detectives stated. I felt sick to my stomach. Whatever was happening, they think I was involved simply because I was doing my job and engaging with campers. Listen, Mr. Dillon, you need to tell us everything you know. Someone saw a gun on one of the suspects, and a park ranger went to investigate. He was shot by the suspect, and we apprehended them not far from here. We found a bag in their car with dismembered body parts, among other things I am not at the liberty to divulge. That's why we've called you in. They're being interviewed as we speak, and we're trying to make some sense of your involvement in all of this. We know you were with them this evening. I wasn't guilty, but I knew that in this situation, the best thing for me to do was to have a lawyer present. I have read enough stories and articles to know that the police can force you to agree to things to make things easier, when you don't actually agree to whatever is being said. I expressed my desire to them, and immediately I felt a change in their demeanor. They had never seemed friendly in the slightest, but now I got the feeling they wanted to do me harm. Again, I should have trusted my gut. Innocent people just don't request lawyers, I was told as they glared at me. But if you insist, we could do this dance. They whispered to each other and asked me if I had a particular lawyer I could call. Having never been in trouble with the law, I told them I did not, but I knew that if I didn't have one, I should be appointed one. That's only if you're being taken in by us, I was corrected by the detectives. So why don't we go for a nice talk at the station? Said the second detective. Newspaper clippings from the Daily Tribune newspaper were attached to the next page. One of the articles read, "The Butchers of Venona Park, trusted park ranger headed human meat manufacturing operation with family of accomplices."
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.